The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel learned through an open records request that the state of Wisconsin is looking into streamlining the hiring process for state jobs. This after the Walker administration had told the paper repeatedly it was not considering changes to the state's civil service system, which is a system that was put in place a century ago to prevent politics from influencing the hiring or firing of state employees. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7 minutes past, it's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, July 7th. We will talk with a state legislative leader who is concerned by the revelation about these possible changes to the state's civil service system, and we will find out why. And we will wonder if you think it is time to streamline this system or not. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Peter Barka. He is a Democratic state representative from Kenosha and the Assembly's minority leader. He's also a member of the Assembly Committee on Employment Relations. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Good to be with you once again.
Yes, it's good to have you back on the show. Now, I said you were concerned about this, but in a statement, you said you were deeply disturbed about the secrecy within the Walker administration regarding this. Why does this deeply disturb you?
Well, what deeply disturbs me is that, once again, you do not have transparency. You do not have a collaborative process to try and work with the state employees or those who represent them to try to ensure that they're involved in the process. You know, I had the good fortune, Joy, of working in the Clinton administration, when they went through the whole reinventing government exercise. And, you know, the whole idea was that we work with those people who had worked for the federal government for many years, people who represented them, and found a way to work together to come forward with changes in the processes where we were able to achieve great taxpayer savings, but do so in a manner that was transparent, that people felt good about it, and that ultimately worked to the benefit of the citizens who receive services and the taxpayers that pay for them. But in this case, once again, we see an example where the Walker administration had told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel one thing and then were secretly doing something completely the opposite and working to make changes, and that does not build confidence. And ironically, it happened you know, the front part of the week is when they discovered it. They only discovered it because of the open records requests that were made. And then by the end of the week, we find an example where they had, you know, gone through a process in hiring where they promoted Walker's former deputy chief of staff in the county, Cindy Archer, to a post she didn't even apply for that involved a substantial raise after ignoring the seven people who did apply for it. So, you know, naturally it leads to suspicion, it leads to concern. I've written a letter to Greg Gratz, the director of the Office of Employee Relations, because of this deep concern.
Well, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel did report that state officials admitted to taking some early steps to streamline or modernize the civil service system's hiring process, but that they did not talk openly about them because they are such modest changes. What's your reaction to that?
Well, my reaction is that, you know, when you juxtapose that with the idea that, once again, you know, on a Friday afternoon when everybody's leaving for the holiday weekend, they announced the fact that they were subverting the civil service system for a position in which seven people applied, and they promoted, you know, someone that, you know, apparently didn't feel she was even qualified for the job. Now, maybe she is qualified. I don't know enough about him when you find out on a Friday afternoon, but where they subverted the whole civil service system. So it just does not build confidence. It's not as if we shouldn't look at making changes or updating it or streamlining. I'm certainly not opposed to that. But when you're doing it in a manner in which, once again, you're telling the public through the newspapers one thing and doing something very different, and when you're not including people in the process, it does not build confidence, and it makes people wary. And, of course, the Walker administration has a history of sneaking things up on people, much like they did with Act 10. Everybody flat-footed, and nobody expected it, and they made, of course, wholesale changes that were just never expected, never discussed during the campaign season in which Walker is just coming off of.
Tell us how the hiring of Cindy Archer, just so we all understand, how does this violate the civil service rules?
Well, I don't know exactly. Again, this was sprung on a Friday afternoon, so I don't know enough about, you know, the final outcome and whether or not it was a complete violation or not. But certainly it did not follow what you would expect the process to be, where you advertise a position, you have applicants. They actually had scored 7 applicants and came up with a recommendation of 2 people that they felt were qualified and were put forward for this position, and the hiring authority in this case ignored the 2 people and offered the job to, you know, to someone who was, you know, a key figure in the Walker administration when he was in the county. In fact, she was the one who, you know, you had law enforcement officials raid her home to seize equipment and materials that was part of the John Doe 1 probe. So she obviously was a very key figure in the Walker County administration, and she's, I don't know, I think this may be her 3rd or 4th job that she's had. And, you know, once again, it just is not sort of fit with the model in which you consider hiring people. And particularly when you spend the money, you have a search, you go through identifying who's qualified and who's not, and you narrow it down to 2 people, and then you say, and then the ultimate analysis, you say, I know, let's take one of the political cronies of the governor and we'll give that person a big raise and put them in the spot, even though they didn't apply for it. That produces huge suspicion. And then when you do it on a Friday afternoon preceding a holiday weekend, it creates even more suspicion and distrust.
Yeah. And why would something like this be a big concern if, you know, you said political crony, but, you know, let's say someone who may have worked for previously, or maybe somebody. Why is it a concern if the civil service rules are not followed to the T?
Well, civil service rules were put in place to prohibit the kind of Tammany Hall patronage system which had developed around the turn of the century. And, in fact, it was part of the whole Fighting Bob La Follette reforms that, you know, were championed in Wisconsin in order to ensure that the taxpayers have qualified people in these positions and people that understand what their duties are, and then also that will work for the public interest and not work for the political interests of whoever happens to be the governor at the time. So that's the benefit and the reason why a civil service system was ever created, and what's at stake here.
We are talking with Peter Barca, Democratic State Representative from Kenosha. He is the Assembly Minority Leader, and he is telling us why he is concerned about the changes to Wisconsin's civil service system that the Walker administration is considering, and we welcome your questions for him. Do you share his concerns or not? We did, by the way, invite the administration secretary, Mike Hipsch, to join us for this state capitol report, but he declined. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. So should the state streamline the hiring process for civil service jobs in Wisconsin? How concerned are you about civil service protections being weakened in the process? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the State Capitol Report here on the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with the State Assembly's Minority Leader, State Representative Peter Barca of Kenosha. He's telling us why he is concerned about what he calls the secrecy of the Walker administration in making what he considers significant changes to the state's civil service system. This system was put in place a century ago to make sure qualified people, not political patrons, got state jobs. We welcome your questions and your views on this at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. The Walker administration had insisted that it was not planning on changing Wisconsin's civil service system to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, but then the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel learned through an open records request that changes are in the works. The administration secretary, Mike Hipsch, said that those changes were not shared publicly because they are so modest, and that he says that there is no interest or desire to change civil service protections, that Mike Hipsch says they are just looking at removing red tape that slow down hiring for state jobs. Peter Barca, what's your reaction to that, that this is just an effort to remove red tape that slowed down hiring for state jobs?
Well, that may be the case. We're not sure because obviously, it wasn't made public what they exactly are considering. And, you know, certainly, as I indicated earlier, it's not as if we should not make reforms periodically. But the issue is that it should just be done so in a transparent manner so that they can gather the input of, you know, people that know the system best, people who are working for the various agencies that know, you know, the intricacies of what's needed in each particular agency in which they're working. You know, and also I think it's important to recognize that, you know, every governor has a certain number of political appointees, and this governor has expanded it dramatically in giving themselves, taking 38 positions that were previously public employees or public servants and having them become political servants or political appointees. So they already have a large number of people in each agency that can look out for their political interests. The question is now making sure that the vast number of people that are responsible to the taxpayers and the public are therefore accomplishing the public purpose and not the political interests of this or any future governor. That's the idea behind it, and clearly any changes that they want to put forward, I think, are something that should be brought forward publicly. There's been concern in the Joint Committee on Employment Relations that's been expressed in the previous three or four meetings that we've had about the lack of input on the part of state employees. When, you know, when the governor had, as part of Act 10, got rid of essentially most collective bargaining, you know, they had at the same time made the commitment that they were still going to involve employees and decision-making and involve them because, you know, like most modern theories of management, you want people on the front lines involved in decision-making. They're the people that are closest to the customers, and they understand what's needed. And generally speaking, in modern organizations and those organizations that are most effective, they give these frontline people a great deal of authority, and they also involve them in decision-making. And we had brought forward with Greg Gratz, who's the director of the agency, that there's been dissatisfaction and concern on the part of employees throughout various departments. You know, it was pretty dramatic, especially in the corrections area, where, you know, people are, their lives and their safety are particularly at risk. And we've heard from many of them that they feel like even on issues of worker safety that they're not able to really share their perspective of how they can ensure a safe workplace. And that's particularly troublesome because that involves, you know, life and security of people, and also involves taxpayer money.
Yeah. Now, a couple of state officials told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that it can take several months to fill a vacant state position. Do you agree that it can be too much of a hassle to fill some of these jobs? Perhaps some streamlining is in order for the civil service system. Do you Do you hear about this with your Assembly Committee on Employment Relations?
Well, they haven't brought it before our committee, which is part of what's so troublesome. This is the first I've heard that there's this concern with the lengthy period that it takes. So it wasn't clear to me that there was a significant problem there, and if there is, it is something we should look at, of course, and it is something that we should analyze various options and determine if there aren't steps that can be taken to make the process more efficient while still treating employees fairly and still ensuring that taxpayers get the best value for their money and the best person that's qualified for a job you put in place.
John in Milwaukee joins us now. Hello, John.
Oh, hi. I just wanted to mention the fact that, maybe they're just trying to streamline the system, but it would appear not to me because, Greg Graz himself got his position because, it's a well-known kind of fact that he helped to deliver the union vote for Scott Walker at the firefighters union back when Scott Walker was running for county executive.
I'm not sure I'm following that. Are you Representative Barca?
Well, I think what he's saying is that Greg Graz used to be one of the leaders in the Milwaukee firefighters who was very close to the governor. So I think what he's stating is that for the department that's charged with ensuring good employer relations and ensuring that employees are involved in the process, that he himself, is a Walker appointee. And I'd have to say, in fairness, I'm not sure if that's the case at all. You would think that given his previous position that he'd be more sensitive to this factor. But I will say that, this has come up in committee meetings and, that there is something really lacking here in terms of employee input into the process post Act 10. And I sent a letter to him the day before the holiday just saying that it appears that he's been left in the dark himself in regard to these potential changes and that we believe that his department should be taking a lead role and that it is very vital that this be a transparent process and that we're expecting him to weigh in on this and to ensure that these discussions are held in the public view and that the public and employees are all involved in this.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask next. What exactly are you calling for now that this situation has come to light?
Well, we're calling for, having public meetings on whatever changes they ultimately bring forward and ensuring that they solicit the input of those people on the front line and gain their ideas of how the system can work the most efficiently and effectively. So that's what we're hoping will take place, and I'm waiting to hear back from the letter that I sent to him, obviously late last week. So hopefully in the next week or two I'll get a response, and maybe we can sit down to discuss this, and maybe we can even have a public hearing in our committee, which would be ideal.
Yeah. We have a caller, and I'm not sure we have time to bring him on, saying that this would be a mistake to dismantle the civil service system. Do you fear that we're talking about dismantling the civil service system?
Well, I doubt very much that in this next step they will try to dismantle the civil service system. And Mike Hepch has indicated that that's not their intent. But you can take significant steps that can move in the direction of dismantling the system. I mean, I never in a million years thought they'd try and dismantle the collective bargaining system. But lo and behold, right after the election, that's exactly what took place. So, when you have those kinds of significant changes brought forward without a public discussion, it does make you worry that there might be something more at stake here than what immediately meets the eye. There's an election underway right now. So is this part of a process where right after the election, similar to Act 10, there'll be this this post-election surprise sprung upon people? And I guess the mere fact that, this had to be discovered through investigative journalism, and, you know, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel deserves credit that they made the open records request, and they determined that despite what the governor told them, that in fact there are these discussions being held at this point, does make one suspicious.
We only have a minute or so left, and I wanted to ask you about another story in the news. The Secretary Hipsch last week released a list of potential state-owned properties that could be sold, saying no decisions have been made about selling them. Anything on that list jump out at you?
Well, there's a number of things that jump out. Of course, you know, generally speaking, I'd say those facilities that we are intending on potentially selling and then having to lease back, we know that other states have had experiences where this has gone astray. In Arizona, for instance, they sold their state legislative office buildings, and, you know, Governor Brewer tried to buy them back, and the owner wouldn't sell them back. And California looked at going down this pathway and found out that it was not a good methodology for them. They pointed out all kinds of problems with this. But it's those kinds of buildings where you're going to have a leasing agreement where the taxpayers can end up on the short end of the stick. There was a study that was done in 1997 where they analyzed the heating, cooling, and power systems, and they found out that there were many reasons why this could be a very bad deal, because you can't tell many years down the road in which you're signing contracts whether or not this will be a good deal. Plus, they found that, ironically, the state workers that work in these power plants make 30% less than their private sector counterparts, and that companies would pay higher interest rates than the state would. So I think it's those kinds of facilities in particular that worry us are those that we're going to have to lease back versus those that we
thank
you know, really don't
thank need. You very much for joining us. Peter Barka, state representative from Kenosha.